Yeah, let's commit this time to God. Lord Jesus, we thank you, God, for this time as we pray together, Lord. We want to come before you, God, to prepare our hearts before you, Lord. Lord, that we may receive from you. Lord, open up our minds, open up our spirit, God. They may receive, God, everything that you're going to speak to us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A few weeks ago, Auntie Martha came to me and then, oh, why we call Auntie Martha? Because she's like a family to us, huh? That's why we call her Auntie. So, she came up to me and said, I remember what you preached the last time you were here. She said, taking root. Oh, you know, she makes you feel so good about yourself. I remember from day one, you know, I've never been on stage before. Less hold a microphone or anything like that. And day one, when we started this church, we had nobody, we had no crowd. So, you know, you had to just grab anybody off and put on stage and sing, you know. So I had to song lead. It was my first time. I was really nervous. My knees were shaking. I was singing. People say, your vibrato was really good. But actually, I was just shaking. You know? But after the whole thing, Auntie Martha came up to me and said, oh, you sang really well. You have to do that every week. You know? After I felt so good about myself, I went home. I went to look up videos, how to improve on how to become a better worship leader. Oh. And every time I song lead, Auntie Martha will always encourage me, even up to today. After the worship leading, she'll come up to me and say, you did very well. You know, you have to do it again. And then a few weeks ago, I told my wife this little secret that I have, you know, about Auntie Martha encouraging me. You know, I always feel so good about myself. And she said, she tells me that too. I was like, what? No. I was pretty hurt at first. After 10 years, I decided to tell my wife, and that's what she tells me. So I realized Auntie Martha has really got a gift of encouragement. Whenever she speaks to each one of us, you know, she helps us to motivate us to become even better of what we are. And I think that's a very good thing. And Auntie Martha is going to have a surgery, I think, this week, Tuesday, I believe. I pray that we all will keep her in our prayers, even as she goes for a surgery. Amen. Today, I'm going to talk about the different stages of spiritual growth. So the Bible always talks about different stages of your growth, being a baby, being a child, being a teenager, and being an adult. This is nothing to do with our age physically, and this is to do with our life as a spiritual, in our spiritual walk. So in other words, you can always be an adult, but be at the baby stage of your spiritual life. So we all grow in one way or another. If we don't grow, it is dead. Okay, only dead things don't grow. So if you have a look at yourself, I want you to think, have I been actually growing in the last few years? Have I been growing spiritually in my spiritual walk in the last few years? And as we talk about the different stages in spiritual life, I want you to see if you can identify yourself in any of these stages as we go along. What is the use if a seed stays a seed and doesn't grow? What is the use if a baby stays a baby forever and doesn't grow? Even medically, whenever I do my ultrasound scans, if an embryo does not change its size in 10 days, we call it a miscarriage, even though the embryo is there. If it does not change its size in 10 days, we call it a miscarriage. So the same goes with our Christian journey. If there's no growth in our Christian journey, you're not stagnant, you're just dead. You just stay where you are. Why is it important for us to grow and mature? So we're going to look at the verse, our text for today. So Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 14. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching
and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming.
So when I run my youth sessions on Friday, what I like them to do is to summarize the passage in their own words whenever they read a passage, because sometimes the words can be too complicated in the verse. So what I like to do is to summarize. So if we were to summarize this verse itself, just from verse 13, it says, it says that God gave us the five gifts, yes? The apostles, the prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Why? Why did God give the five gifts? To equip us to serve and to become mature. Isn't that what the verse is saying? And to become mature, it describes even further that becoming mature is to attain the whole measure of Christ, which in other words, it means to become like Jesus. So to become mature, Jesus is our standard. So that's what we are going to aim for. And why is this important? So that we may not be tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people. Okay? So we're going to go to the first stage, which is the baby stage. So baby stage, there's a few descriptions about baby stage. So baby stage, they are basically the new Christians. They are dependent on others. They know little about the Bible and they have a weak connection with God. So this is the stage where basically you first come into Christianity, you're born into Christianity. Now the passage that I'm going to bring to you is John 3 verse 1 to 5. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, but no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." "How can someone be born when they're old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and of the Spirit." So we see here Jesus introduces a way for us to be born into God's kingdom through water and of the Spirit. Now water is signified by spiritual cleansing, by repenting of our sins, and also birth of a new spiritual life through the Holy Spirit. Now, when we come to know Christ, we all start at this stage. No matter where we're at, we all start at this stage, the baby stage. This stage is when you are totally dependent on the rest of the people for your spiritual growth. Just like a baby, they're totally dependent on their parents in how they grow, in whether they survive. They're totally dependent on the people around them. And so are the new Christians. Now, sometimes being a baby is... most of you know what a baby is like, you know, they are very dependent on you. You want them to go here, you carry them up and you put them here. You want them to go there, you carry them up and you put them there. You want them to have food and, you know, you put food into their mouth, straight spoon fed. And sometimes we see some of the Christians stay as a baby Christian, you know. You want them to serve, you have to carry them up, put them here. "Can you please put the chairs?" You carry them up, put them here. "Can you please serve?" You know, these are baby Christians. It's okay to start off that way. It's okay. But sooner or later, you have to start picking it up because everyone has to grow. You want them to come to church, you have to pick them up, put them at church. Here you go. That's church for you. You know, some people are so passive. They just sit down there and don't do anything. You feel like even looking at them, it drains your energy. You feel tired just looking at them. You know, the Bible describes a lazy person as a person who has no energy to even lift the spoon up to feed himself. You know, they know little about the Bible. They're still learning the do's and don'ts about the Bible. They are fragile and should be taught how to study the Bible and read the Bible and how to communicate with God. Because this stage is crucial, is quite a crucial stage, because if there's not much impartation from the rest of the members, they can fall away very easily. They are totally dependent on the people around them. And if you take these dependent people out of it, just like a baby, they won't be able to survive. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, it says, "Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that you may grow up in your salvation." crave for spiritual milk. Now, what does it mean by spiritual milk? Everyone knows what the milk is? Yes? Milk is something very easy for the baby to receive its nutrients at that stage, isn't it? You can't just give a steak to the baby and say, have it, you know, this is good for you. You need some protein. You know, milk is given to a baby because they have no teeth. They have no teeth to chew. And at that stage, it's probably the most nutritious food for them. Now, the same goes with spiritual milk. Spiritual milk is something that's easy, something that's simple, and something that's practical to them at that stage. At an early stage, these things are really crucial to grow your spiritual life. Crave them. But today, I want you to go a step further. Okay? Don't only crave for spiritual milk, because milk can only last you for a while. If we take a baby, for example, how long can the baby feed on milk? Forever. After about 1, 2, they have to start introducing solid foods. Yes? And what if you don't introduce solid foods? How long will they survive? They estimate that the child will probably be malnourished in the early toddler stage and probably won't live very long after that, after 5 or 6 years old. So if you just keep on milk, no matter how nutritious it is, your body craves for something more after that. You need solid food. Now, a lot of Christians today stay on this baby stage and they stay on this easy, simple, and practical Bible study that they want to learn. So they just go for Sunday services. They listen to easy, simple, and practical sermons. It's good, not discounting that, but we need to go a step further as well, because sooner or later, if we don't go a step further, just like the baby, it needs solid food. And if you don't take the solid food, you spiritually die. So that is why a lot of self-proclaimed Christians come in and out of church, dropping by, like having a beer at a pub, watching footy. You know, I can come in and go out whenever I want. Oh, I used to come to church a while ago and then I'm not there anymore. It's because they don't really have a strong spiritual connection. And it's okay to admit that, but what I'm saying is we need to take a step further and grow even more. Now, I remember in 2013 when Isabel was born. How many of you remember the birth of your first child? Yes? You know, you go to the hospital, you drive your car, and then the next thing you know, you're driving back with a little baby in a back seat. It's pretty weird, a pretty surreal feeling. You know, you drive in a car, just two of you. You never really knew because it was always in the tummy. And then you're driving back and suddenly there's a human being behind you. Like, who's this? You know, it's a human being behind you. And suddenly you, out of the hospital, you go, speed limit is 60, you drive at 40. You know, you're being careful, you watch for all the cars around you. Even way ahead, you see, oh, that car is coming, I have to be careful. You know, everything, you're being careful about every single thing. I used to collect speeding tickets a lot, until Isabel came along. You know, every speeding ticket, I used to say, every speeding ticket has a story to tell. You know, I used to collect them so much. But after Isabel came out, you know, you're so careful about your driving. Suddenly, you don't see a need for speeding. But, you know, you remember holding your baby in your arms and realize how fragile they are and how dependent they are on you. And you realize they really can't do anything if you're not there. You know, I remember carrying Isabel. I was like, there's no weight. You know, they're only about 3 kilos, and 3 kilos is really not much. You know, when you carry them, and you have to check to make sure, oh, is the baby actually here? You know, you don't feel their weight at all when they're just born. And sometimes you're born, baby maybe 2.5 kilos or even less. You know, you don't even feel their weight. And realizing how fragile they are, we expect spiritual Christians to be that way as well. You know, when they are newborn Christians, they are really fragile in their spiritual walk. And I think as a family of Christ, we have to be there to support them, to encourage them, and to build them up. Whenever people come into this family, we build them up to where they are supposed to be. Yes, they may make mistakes, and it's okay. It's okay to make mistakes. Baby takes a while to walk. They fall down a few times before they can stand. And it's okay to fall down, but we'll always be there to support them and to carry them up again. As fragile as a baby is, so is a baby Christian. And a baby Christian will want to grow as well. It takes two parties, okay? So if a baby Christian stays a baby for the next 5 or 10 years, then there's something wrong. Yes? If a baby does not walk after 3, 4, 5 years old, there's something wrong with the growth. And the same goes with our spiritual life as well. The next stage I want to talk to you about is the adolescent stage. Now, adolescent, if the dictionary defines it correctly, it's the transition from a child to an adult. And some people say maybe the teenager stage or a young adult. Now, this is a stage where the Christian understands God. They know a lot about the Bible, independent. They have a connection with God, but they are sometimes a bit impatient and lack maturity. So they appear to know a lot about God, but sometimes they think they know more than everyone else about the Bible. They are independent, and sometimes they can be difficult to subject to authority. Sometimes they don't appreciate anybody correcting them. They can be impatient and wants God to use them right away because they have everything they need to know about being a Christian. They have everything they need to know about being used by God. And they want to be used right away. You know, often a lot of us fall into this category. Sometimes you see Christians playing politics, arguing in church, the Bible should be done this way, the Bible should be done that way. You know, they know a lot, but they lack the maturity in being humble and to submit to authority. In Hebrews 13 verse 17, it says, "Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority, because they keep watch over you as those who must give account. Do this so that their work will be joy and not a burden, for that will be of no benefit to you." So even though we know a lot about the Bible, we still have to submit to authority. Now this is a stage of Christians where they are quite independent. What I mean by that is they are not dependent on others so much about their spiritual growth. Even if you take away the church family away from them, somehow they still will be able to grow. Not as well as they can, but they will still have God on their mind and they will still know what to do. Now, this is the stage where we have to be careful and to guide them in the right path without destroying their calling and without destroying their dreams. Often here is where people either go on to do great works or some, unfortunately, may leave the church because they were hurt at some point. Now, these are the people that might be easier to get them back to church because they already have a firm understanding about who God is. Now, when I was 18 years old, God spoke to me and impressed upon my heart that one day, Sean, you're going to be preaching the Word of God. Now, I've never told this to anyone until now. As usual, my mom and dad is like, "Oh, so what are you going to admit to us this week?" I forgot the last time it was recorded. So, so God impressed upon my heart at that age, but I've never really told anyone. And then we had a youth camp that year. There was a pastor who came to me and prophesied over me. And say, "Sean, you're going to go to different countries and you're going to preach the Word of God." I was like, oh, it's coming. Time is coming, you know. It's coming now. I was expecting the next Sunday when I go to church, the pastor will call me up and say, "Sean, your ticket's there, go." Or, you know, I'll get a phone call, anonymous phone call, and say, "Sean, we need you here in this country," you know. I was waiting for it. It's going to come soon, really. I was so excited. God impressed upon my heart. The pastor prophesied. You know, everything, the stars are all lining up. You know, I was 18 years old. You know, my teenage hormones were all over the place as well. I was like, I'm ready. I was over the top. Adrenaline was running. You know, I told God, you know, "Take me now. I'm ready. Use me." You know, all the songs that I remember, "Use me, Lord, now, and take me as your servant. Lord, let me be a living sacrifice." All the songs were just coming out, you know. Then I waited 1 year. Then 1 year became 2 years. 2 years became 3 years. 3 years became 4, 5, 6, 7. It was only not until 10 years later when my dad said, "Oh, do you want to help out this Sunday and preach?" I said, "Oh, God, thank you. It's about time. I was 10 years later, and then I preached my first sermon. I didn't realize how hard it was to preach. I spent hours on my material, but looking back, I realized that although I had the passion, I had the right mindset, I was still not ready in many aspects of my life. I was still not mature enough in a lot of things that I was going to speak. I did not have a lot of basis, a lot of experience to where I was going to speak from. Today, I've been in the working industry for almost 10 years now. So there's a lot of experience that I can draw back from, my family and all that, that I can use now as I preach. And I, looking back, I realized that I was not ready. There's a lot of things that I still had to work at. I did not tell my dad, you know, give me a Sunday to preach. Never. You can ask my dad about that. It's because I did not want to twist God's hand. I did not want to orchestrate my own calling. I did not want to engineer God's work in my life. And I think being patient as well is another attribute that we can learn. Especially many of us have God spoken to us at one point or another. And some of us have waited less than 10 years. Some of us have waited more. But it's all about God's timing. And God's timing also has to play with how well you're maturing while you're waiting in that process as well. How well you're developing yourself. You may know a lot of the Bible at this adolescent stage, but you may still lack patience and still lack maturity in a lot of your own actions. Because you don't want to do what God's called you to do and to stumble along the way and stumble many others as well. So there's a lot of work that God wants to work with you. And the third point, mature Christian. Now, this is where I'm going to spend most of my time at. This should be the goal of every Christian. Every Christian, no matter what stage you're at, you should strive to be a mature Christian. Now, remember in Ephesians 4 verse 13, it says a mature Christian is one that is like Jesus, isn't it? To be like Jesus, that's to be a mature Christian. A person who attains the whole measure of Christ. Now, the first characteristic of a mature Christian is a person who recognizes right and wrong. Hebrews 5, verse 13 to 14, it says, anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Now, a mature Christian is not someone who lives in a gray area. Okay? They know what's right and they know what's wrong. Now, the Bible said earlier to crave spiritual milk while you're young. Now it says when you're mature, you have to get solid food. Solid food are tough and you have to make an effort to actually understand them, just like your steak. You know, you have to bite, you have to chew, you have to cut them up, you have to cut them into smaller pieces. You know, you have to make an effort to actually understand the Bible a bit more. Second point, not easily swayed by false teaching. So Ephesians 4 verse 13 to 14, remember we went to that earlier. Until we reach unity in faith and in knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of Christ, I'm going to highlight there, then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by cunning and craftiness of people in deceitful scheming. Now, nowadays, there's so many fake news going around on Facebook, huh? If you turn on your Facebook feed, there's all these kinds of news. You never know what's real and you never know what's fake. You never know what's their source and you never know where they got the news from. How many of you used the internet when it was first introduced? Yeah? The internet. You guys remember those days when you had to connect to the internet? How do you connect to the internet nowadays? You don't even have to press a connect button. You just pull up your phone and it's already connected. Connection's already there, huh? It's all connected. Those days, I remember going to this icon with two telephones, with a line in between, double-click on it, dial up internet, yes, 56K, and then you click on it, and to connect to the internet, it goes through all these weird sounds, you know? You guys remember that? And you have to go through, and you have to wait for a long time, and then they say, not connected. They have to try it again. You know, it goes through the whole process. You have to try maybe 2 or 3 times and it gets connection. And then finally, it gets connected, you know. And then you load your first image on the page. And it loads strip by strip, line by line, before you get your first picture on the web page. You know, it takes so long. And then, I remember those days when you connect, when you get your email was a new thing at that time. Everyone was sending each other emails, you know, no more postcards, no more letters. You're sending emails. And then we get all these random news or advisors from, I don't know where their source is, you know, like braces, link of braces to cancer, or, you know, some of these random news that just get sent to your email. And you read it, oh, it's actually good. Let me forward it to all my contacts. You forward it. And this news just gets spun around and around. There's no real source of it. A few days ago, I saw an email that was forwarded to me. I said, I saw that 10 years ago, you know, 15 years ago. It just gets round and round in circles, isn't it? It gets forwarded to this person and forwarded to another, and then it comes back to you. Now, all this news, we never know what the source is, and for people who don't know anything about it medically or financially, we assume that it's real. And you say, oh, it's pretty scary, it must be real. The same goes with the Bible, you know. Out there, these days, there's a lot of news, a lot of fake news, a lot of misguided teachings about the Bible that's being sent out to many of us. And we think that the Bible is interpreted in such a way, this must be this and that must be that. Now, if you're not spiritually strong at all, and you have no basis, you don't have a background in what the Word of God really teaches about, now any of this news will seem real to you, and you'll fall for any of it. And a mature Christian has to know the Bible, because we don't want to be swayed by the wind, swayed by rumors, swayed by just some of the nonsensical news that comes around. Now, if we don't know the Bible, any of this can be true to you. That's why it's so important for us to know the Bible, because if not, anyone can just tell you something about the Bible and you just believe it. So our goal here in this church is not just to spoon-feed you, right or wrong, you should do this or should not do that. But our goal in church, over in this church anyway, is to grow you up to be a mature Christian so that you can decide for yourself. We are not here to say, oh, you should do this or should do that. Oh, I'm stuck here. We want our goal here. We can help you out with that, but our goal here is to mature you to be at a stage where you can decide for yourself and help others as well. Now, the third point. A mature Christian will serve with whatever he or she has. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. Now, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Now, needless to say, every one of us have to use our gifts in serving God. Now, it doesn't have to be singing up on stage. It doesn't have to be playing music. Even your hands that God has given you is a blessing. Your legs that God has given you is a blessing. You know, even arranging the chairs in church is a blessing. Everything that we do, we work with one common goal, and that is to glorify God. Now, during a visit to the NASA Space Center in 1962, John F. Kennedy first noticed a janitor carrying a broom. He interrupted his own tour. He walked over to the man and said, "Hi, I'm John Kennedy. What are you doing?" Now, the janitor said, "Well, Mr. President, I'm here helping to put a man on the moon." You know, every one of them saw their purpose. Everyone was helping in their own way to serve a greater purpose. Now, the same goes in our church here today. There's many ways that we can serve one another in order to fulfill God's purpose. Not everyone has to be a musician. Not everyone has to be up here on stage. Not everyone has to do this or that. Everyone serves in their own capacity. Now, the fourth point is to have control of the mind and tongue. Now, a mature Christian is one who knows how to control their tongue, isn't it? In James 3, it says, although the tongue is a small part, it can corrupt the whole body. Paul said that in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5, it says to take captive of every thought that we have and make it obedient to Christ. Now, controlling the tongue is a bit hard sometimes for some of us. Now, there was a story about Mary. She was the official, she called herself the official church gossiper. She was the appointed one. So she kept sticking her business into other people's business. So one day she saw Frank's car parked on the side of the street. Okay, so the street has a few shops. She saw Frank's car parked on the side of the street. And the car was parked, so happened the car was parked just in front of a pub. And she saw that. Following Sunday, she spread the gossip. She said, I saw Frank. He was at the pub. He's an alcoholic. You know, maybe he's having some trouble with his wife. So she started to spread that rumor just by seeing the car on the side of the street parked in front of the pub. Now, Frank, he's a man of few words. And he heard her speak that. He looked at her, turned around, and just walked away. He didn't explain himself. He didn't deny it. He didn't try to say what was going on. He just walked away. The following night, he drove his car, parked in front of Mary's house, walked away, and left it there the whole night. Gotta love Frank, huh? So be careful, okay? Control our tongue. Now the fifth point I want to bring to you is a mature Christian will see every challenge and a trial as an opportunity to grow. James 1 verse 2 to 4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete and not lacking anything. Whenever you face trials of many kinds, know that is the testing of your faith and it produces perseverance. Every challenge you go through, every difficult time that you go through, it's a challenge of your faith. And you should see that as every opportunity to grow. Life is not easy. Sometimes you have ups, sometimes you have downs, and sometimes the downs are really bad. But to see even further than that, you see God's purpose for your life. You see what God is trying to build within you. You see the character that God's trying to build within you. Are you going to persevere? Are you going to build yourself up to be better from this, learning from this? You know, Thomas Edison, he had 2,000 different materials in search of building the light bulb. He had to find what material had to produce that filament for that light bulb to produce light. His assistant complained, "All our work here is in vain. We have learned nothing. We have tried 2,000 things and it didn't work." Now, Edison replied, "No. Actually, we have made a lot of progress. We have come a long way. Now we know that there's 2,000 things that will not work." Isn't it? It depends how you see things. And if you see trials as something that's going to pull you down, it's going to pull you down. But if you see trials as something that you're going to become a better person from that, then you'll be better. Now, the last thing I want to talk about a mature Christian is someone who's constantly improving. Okay? If you're mature, you're always improving. You don't stop there. Even if you think you had number 1 to 5, you still work on yourself. Paul, he's one of the best examples of being a mature Christian. He even said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." That was how confident he was about his walk with God. But even that, with that much confidence, he said, "Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." He said, "I don't say that I have already taken hold of it. I don't say that I've already gotten everything. But I still press on. I still work on myself." And that's a main characteristic of being a mature Christian. You're always improving on yourself. Now, I want to conclude here. Regardless of where we are at being a Christian today, we have to strive to grow and mature spiritually. Have you guys seen a tree trunk? Yes? I know last time, what did I talk about? I talked about roots, huh? I think it's only fair that I talk about the trunk now. Just to give a bit of respect to it. I mean, roots are important, but I want to tell you, yes, trunk, you're equally important. it stabilizes the tree. Okay, so when the wind blows, it brings the tree back into its position. And the trunk also allows the leaves to stretch out into the sunlight to get the sunlight. Okay, if the trunk is too short, the tree may not receive the sunlight, the tree will die as well. So the tree is pretty important. Now, if you cut the tree in half, you see rings around the tree. You guys seen that before? Yes? See rings around the tree. Now, each ring can tell you a lot. So if you look at the whiter part of the ring, it's actually the growth of the tree from spring to summer. And if you look at the darker line of the tree, it's actually late summer or fall. That's when the darker part will grow. So in other words, each ring represents 1 year. Because the white part grows from spring to early summer, and then the dark part grows from late summer to fall, and then the whole cycle goes again. So that is what is represented by the ring. Okay? So the rings can tell, one ring tells you 1 year. So from that, we can see on the next slide that we can date the tree. If we cut the tree in half, we can tell when the tree was planted. We can tell how old the tree is. We can date back just from measuring the rings of the tree. Now, not only you can tell the age, but also you can tell other things about the pigmentation of the rings. You can tell from the scar of the rings, what season they had in that year, how it was producing, how much rain there was. You can tell how much sunlight there was. You can tell a lot of things through the rings of the tree. And more importantly, we can tell how well the tree has grown in that specific year. So if we look at that, we can tell that it was growing well at the beginning stage. There was quite a big growth. And then it slowed down later on in its life. And depending on the tree, some tree will grow really slow at the beginning and then grow well at the end. So we can look at the rings of the tree. The thickness of the ring will represent our growth. Now, what if we dissect our life here today? What can we say about ourselves with each year that has passed? Each year that has gone? How much can we say we have grown? How will our tree rings look like on ourselves? Will it look thick at the beginning and then thin at the end? Or will it look thin at the beginning or thick at the end? How well are we actually growing? Because one day we have to dissect our lives and we have to present our lives and be accountable to God. We have to present an account to God on what we have done with our life that is given here on earth. I pray that when we look at ourselves, you become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will not only be infants tossed back and forth by the wind and be susceptible to people's deceitful scheming. Amen.